7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and we are not here with Tim. Tim is actually, where is Tim at, Tom?
So it's pretty hot right now in the Chicagoland area. There's been tons of ice cream trucks strolling around the neighborhoods. These two got in a chase today because they were fighting over customers and knocked down some telephone pole or electricity pole by Tim's house. He has no power. He's trying to save his kids. This man's a family man. His wife's burning up. The kids are burning up. So he took his kids to the pool. Now he's going to some Holiday Inn. Tim couldn't make it.
You can't even make that story up. No. Because that's about as true as it gets.
Damn ice cream trucks.
We are also joined today by my brother, Justin Stevens. Justin, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Thanks Producer for having me. Justin.
Producer Justin. He has produced a total of one episode, which is today.
You're welcome.
Highly qualified, so.
So, yeah, not bad. Justin is at the reins of this show today, and he's never produced a show, and hopefully doesn't screw anything up.
Oh, God.
I'm a little nervous.
So, again, this is going to be the last two episodes of the NFC South, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Atlanta Falcons. This one is going to be my Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Woo!
And then the next episode after this is going to be the Atlanta Falcons. We had to cut it short last week. We had a lot of stuff going on, MMA stuff, big fight announcement. We had to talk about that nonsense because Tim is, you know, the MMA guy. So, unfortunately, we had to cut that short. We are going to go with Tampa Bay Buccaneers today. How do you guys feel about it? I feel good.
I'm pretty pumped. I know you've been waiting for weeks to talk about your Tampa Bay Bucs. I'm glad it's finally here. You look so happy. I don't know if I've ever seen you this happy in my life, so I'm pretty pumped.
Yeah, it's I'm pretty excited, and I know Justin, when we talk about the Atlanta Falcons, he's going to be pretty excited about that. You are a big Freeman fan, after all, and Coleman.
Pretty big fan.
All right, let's talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Last year, they ended up the year 9-7-0, winning percentage of 5-6-3, home record of 4-4. The road record was pretty good at 5-3. Their division, though, they were 4-2, which is very respectable. Atlanta was the lead dog in that at 5-1. If you're winning your division, you're doing good. And that is why the Tampa Bay Buccaneers finished number 2 in the division last year. Man, they were so close to making the playoffs. I was waiting. They had to have, like 32 different things happen. They needed two teams to tie, a coin flip, and a sack race on Sunday. But there was a chance. And unfortunately, it did not happen. But it is what it is. Points for last year. This is the number that they need to improve this year. Because if they do not improve this number, then there are just going to be a lot of things going wrong with Tampa this year. 354 points. That is actually less points than the Carolina Panthers scored last year. That's actually only less than 50 points more than the San Francisco 49ers, a two-win team last year, put up. And that's pretty ugly.
That's very ugly.
I'm shocked that that is all they put up. I thought they would have put up a lot more. Their point differential was 15 points in the negative. So they gave up more points than they scored. And you look at a team like Atlanta, who has given up 406 points but scored 540 points. Not only does that speak volumes of the team in general, but fantasy aspect as well. 134-point difference.
When Tampa got hot last year, though, when they started to make that push, they were playing good defense, they were running the football, and they were kind of taking the ball out of Jameis Winston's hands. He's struggled with turnovers since he got in the league. He's a young quarterback, but I think they're going to start having more faith in him to throw the football and lead that offense. But this team, they're underrated, and right now they're probably one of those that hot pick to make that next step forward and make the playoffs this year.
Let's talk about some of the people that have either come to the team or left the team and either giving Jameis Winston more weapons or getting rid of some of his weapons. So let's first start off with some of the guys that have left. We got Bradley McDougal, or how do you say his last name? McDougald?
I think it's McDougal.
McDougal? I don't know. Weird name. But he ended up leaving, free safety, one-year deal with the Seattle Seahawks. We got Akeem Spence, defensive tackle. He ends up going to the Detroit Lions. We have Russell Shepard, who I said that may have been a breakout last year. Didn't really do much of anything. He went to the Carolina Panthers on a three-year deal. And then the quarterback of the future of the Chicago Bears, Mike Giraffe Neck Glennon, goes to the Chicago Bears on a three-year, $45 million deal. Technically, it's like a one-year deal. Yep. So, I don't think they lost much. It is what it is.
I think the Bucs really would have liked to keep Mike Glennon around. He knows the system. He's been there his whole career. They offered him a pretty hefty salary to be the backup to Jameis Winston, but the Bears offered him something that the Bucs could not match. So, and they got someone to replace him who is a serviceable vet right now.
Got anything, Justin? You look like you wanted to say something.
Oh, just for Mike Glennon. I mean, it's a chance to start, so why wouldn't you leave, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on.
Plus more money.
He was getting offered the highest contract for a backup quarterback. And you have two mind frames right there. Do you want to be the highest paid backup and you don't really do much? Or do you want to be, you know, a starting quarterback on a team? And obviously the starting quarterback looked more attractive, which a lot of quarterbacks do want that option. But then again, there are a couple of those quarterbacks that are like, you know what, I'll hold that clipboard.
Oh, yeah.
Because how can you blame them? You're making, what, $6 million a year to do nothing. So if you really don't care about football, it's not a bad option.
Sign me up.
Next up, we're going to talk about some of the guys that they acquired this offseason. We're going to start off with quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick signs with the Tampa Bay Bucks. One-year deal, $3 million. Mike Glennon's gone. Fitzpatrick comes in. I don't really care. It's a body. It's somebody that can, you know, fill in if you need him to. And it's a guy that's been a starter in the league. So it is what it is. Another guy that they brought in was one Nick Folk, a kicker, to combat one Roberto Aguayo. And I think Nick Folk is going to come out the winner. And Aguayo will be a cut, unfortunately.
I really hope Aguayo wins this job. Tampa Bay, they've done a pretty good job drafting, but they traded up in the second round to get a kicker, and now they might cut him the second year that he's in the NFL, but he was horrendous last year, looked nothing like the kid at Florida State who looked like he can make every kick that's possible, yeah. And now the journeyman Nick Folk is coming in and might steal the kid's job. It is what it is, but they need to get better in that department. The kicking game is completely underrated. It's not easy, and we saw last year how difficult it can be for the young Roberto Aguayo.
Is it safe to say that whoever wins this kicking job, would you consider them strongly in fantasy?
Yeah, I like the Bucks. I really like the divisional matchups. Look, all these teams are going to score points. In my eyes, all these teams are going to have shootouts quite a bit, and there's six pretty much friendly games where you're going to probably be expecting over 30 points scored for each team in the game. So you got to like the chances for these kickers to be fantasy viable.
The Bucks actually did a lot re-signing their players. They have Jaquizz Rodgers, again, a former Chicago Bear. They re-signed him. We have Chris Conte. He was a former Chicago Bear back in the day as well. They re-signed him to a two-year deal, both two-year deals. And Josh Robinson, corner, they re-sign him. Joe Hawley, they sign him. J.J. Wilcox, they sign him. Free safety coming over from the Dallas Cowboys. Chris Baker, defensive end coming over from Washington. And the speedster that is giving one Jameis Winston more weapons, DeSean Jackson, turning 30 years old, three-year deal, $33 million, giving Jameis more weapons, and we've talked about that over and over again in a lot of our episodes. Jameis Winston is the best when you get him weapons. Look at what they're doing with Marcus Mariota. When was he the best in college? When you're giving him weapons. So it's very interesting to see them get rid of one Vincent Jackson, draft a wide receiver, which we'll talk about in a little bit, and bring in a player such as DeSean Jackson.
He's going to take the top off a lot of defenses. This guy can still run. He has struggled lately with staying healthy, but the Bucs have tons of weapons, and I'm glad to see Mike Evans get some more talent around him in that wide receiver core. It's kind of been ugly the last few seasons, and he's kind of been that target hog, but this is only going to help him.
Justin, being an owner in a fantasy football league and owning one Mike Evans, what are your thoughts on the acquisition of one DeSean Jackson? Does that like make you think that Mike Evans is going to have a better year than he had last year? Do you think it may pull some of his numbers back a little bit? I know we were talking a little bit early about fantasy. We're going to get that to a little bit later, but I'm just curious on your thoughts on that.
Well, the thing with the DeSean Jackson is that he's just a home run hitter, right?
Yep. I mean,
that's all he does. So that's the bad thing. You're not going to get those, you know, 60-yard throws and a touchdown from Mike Evans anymore. But he's going to be productive. He's going to get you 8 receptions a game, and probably even more than that, right?
Yeah, you definitely could, because if you're looking PPR-wise, which is now the ESPN standard, that is very possible that Mike Evans could get 8 catches a game. You look at some of his games last year, he had 11 catches a game, 10 catches, 8, 8, 7, 5. So the realm of possibility, you're looking probably more 6.5, 7 receptions a game. And I think with the addition of DeSean Jackson, like you said, that home run ball, I think, is gone with Mike Evans. Not necessarily gone, but it's limited in a sense. But I think you're going to see a lot more Mike Evans across the middle, more of your safety blanket, which is going to be a lot nicer, because when Vincent Jackson was there, Mike Evans was the guy to stretch the field. And then plus, you got to still remember, Adam Humphries is still there. That guy is a slot guy, so we'll see what happens as well with that. Let's talk about some of the other guys that do make some of the waves in the offseason. That is through the draft. So, Tom, let's hit it up with that.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they had a pretty good draft. Overall, big-time fan of it. In that first round, oh, man, when a top-5 talent in a draft class drops to the 19th pick in the draft, normally it's due to some off-the-field issues or some nagging injuries or some big catastrophe that just happened before the draft started. The Buccaneers, though, in my eyes, got one of the cleanest prospects in tight end O.J. Howard from Alabama. He didn't have any of these concerns, didn't have any injuries, had a very clean pre-draft experience, showed all the scouts at the Senior Bowl that he was the best player there that weekend, showed the scouts at the Combine that he's a physical freak. On film, one of the most consistent players on Alabama's team. This dude can block. He can run the routes. He could pretty much do anything that Nick Saban asked him to do. He's a true extension of that offensive line in the run blocking. He's going to positively affect both the passing and run game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is so important for them as a team. They got a tremendous football player and tremendous value in O.J. Howard.
Yeah, O.J. Howard lit up the draft combine, had huge numbers. He did not have to go to the Senior Bowl, but he did go to the Senior Bowl and tore shit up there. He was a monster. A lot of people were afraid to go. I shouldn't say afraid to go against him, but they didn't want to line up against him. They didn't want to look silly. He's a great pass catcher, underutilized while at Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't really know what to do with him. And then when he did get the ball in the open field, it was unbelievable. Super fast. He's quick for a tight end. Got great hands. Can block, just like you said. And now you're going to pair him up with one of the most surprising tight ends in last year with Cameron Brate. So it's going to be very interesting to see how these two mesh, and I'm very excited to see how it goes.
Got anything, Justin?
Do you think this was like the best place that he could have went, though, for his development? I mean, there won't be a lot of like, expectations on him because they have so many weapons, but still.
I think it's a very good spot, personally. Look, you got that young quarterback, Jameis Winston. This is his fourth year, right, Josh?
Yeah.
Fourth year. They've got plenty of other talent on that team. Cameron Brate kind of established himself as an NFL tight end. I think he's going to go in there, get every opportunity to play. Patriots probably would have been the best overall spot so he could learn behind Gronk and obviously learn that whole Belichick fucking fuck the Patriots system. But that probably would have been the best spot. But the Buccaneers is very good. It's probably like an A-minus landing spot for him overall, I think.
Yeah, going to the Bucs, I mean, that's an awesome landing spot. The Saints would have been another good landing spot. Panthers, if they wanted to sit him behind Greg Olsen technically for a year or two. But now Greg Olsen's talking about doing the restructure contract. There's a couple different possibilities. But in all reality, that's not that bad. You can't really complain about that. And now you get to pair him up with Cameron Brate. Again, Cameron Brait had a big breakout season last year. We don't know exactly what Cameron Brait is. So all I know is that Jameis Winston has been staying late at practices with Cameron Brait. He trusts Cameron Brait. And if O.J. Howard can get any of that trust or anything from that, then it's just a good thing. Plus, you got to remember, like I've said, the more and more weapons you give Jameis Winston, the better. Now, if you're talking in terms of fantasy, Justin, I do agree with you. Not the best landing spot. But if you're in if you're talking about winning football games and going from 9-7 to possibly 11-5 or 12-4, then I think this is a very good landing spot for him.
In the second round, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers selected safety Justin Evans from Texas A&M. Safety was a big-time need for the Bucs. Evans is a big-time hitter, very aggressive play style. He'll be a positive addition for the run defense for the Bucs, something they need to improve on. Very good range, pretty good ball skills. Will do most of his damage for the Bucs, though, inside the box and come around and play around the line of scrimmage. Evans might have been the most aggressive safety in this draft class. Loves the physicality of the game, but it did cause him some troubles. Missed over 30 tackles in his last two seasons at Texas A&M, top five in the nation. But overall, this is something the Bucs needed. They needed to get a secondary player who could help stop the run, and that's something they need to do in the NFC South.
Yeah, again, a very, I don't want to say a super underrated guy, but I think he's very good. Again, he plays in the box. He kind of plays exactly opposite of what Chris Conte plays. Chris Conte is the guy that sits in center field waiting for that ball to come through. And this is a guy that can complement him pretty well. And I hate Chris Conte with everything about my body and my well-being. But Chris Conte is serviceable, and he's a guy that's been around for a while. And it's somebody they can learn from. But, you know, I like Evans. It brings a different element to the team. He's going to compete from day one, and he's going to start from day one. So you're going to draft a guy like this. You get him where you get him. He's going to be an automatic starter. I can live with that.
With the addition of O.J. Howard in the first round of the draft, the Buccaneers started a process of surrounding Jameis Winston with talent. In the third round, they wanted to add one more piece around Jameis, and they added wide receiver Chris Godwin from Penn State. This is another one of Josh's guys. Should have seen his face when the Bucs made this pick. Godwin was a big-time wide receiver at Penn State. Type of player who always came up big in the bowl games. Absolutely torched Adoree Jackson in the Rose Bowl this year. He's got good size. I think the Bucs will be able to move him around. He can play anywhere from inside or outside. But I think he'll be quite effective as in being that bigger slot wide receiver. Very good hands, very reliable route runner. He's going to be on the field often as a rookie.
Yeah, the biggest thing that I took away from Chris Godwin, because I did a lot of breakdown on Chris Godwin. I'm very fond of him. I thought he was a second-round talent with some of these wide receivers coming out. Late second round, but still a second-round guy. And getting him where they did, it was a very good spot. But the thing is, I'm looking at Chris Godwin like this. You still have Adam Humphries. You have DeSean Jackson. You have Mike Evans. If DeSean Jackson goes down and gets hurt, which is a very, very strong possibility, I think a Chris Godwin matched up with a Mike Evans, both guys on the outside, is a better fit for this team overall. And I know you want that speed guy. I know you want that guy to stretch the field. But I just think that having two guys like that with Evans and Godwin would just be a better dynamic. And then you start adding in the Cameron Brait. And then you start adding in O.J. Howard. And then you start adding in Adam Humphries. You have a lot of different weapons. With DeSean Jackson, he can stretch the field, but Chris Godwin can do a lot of different things. I just like Chris Godwin so much. He plays in all the big games that he's ever played. Look at every single game. Rose Bowl, that was the last one that he had. It's every single big game, every bowl game, every game that mattered. He has shown up, and he has mattered in that game. You take their best DB, you match him against Chris Godwin, you know what he does? He basically says, hey, sorry, it's going to be my show today. And Chris Godwin is the man that day. So great pickup. Him going to Tampa Bay, super underrated. I cannot believe more teams have not been talking or It just blows my mind. Just shocking.
I was shocked he was there for the Bucks in the third. I thought he was going to be that late second round guy to kind of step it up a little bit. Because when you watch the dude's film, he's very good. He was definitely top probably 6 or 7 in this class in my eyes based on the wide receiver film. Doesn't really have anything bad about him. Kind of a little bit different than the Michael Thomas from last year, but yeah. Similar player, just kind of does everything very good. Nothing great, not the best athlete in the world, but just a very good football player who absolutely loves the game. And that's what I think the Bucks got with Chris Godwin. Bucks traded up into the end of the third round to select linebacker Kendall Beckwith of LSU, coming off ACL tear. I was pretty shocked with this pick. Beckwith isn't the type of linebacker that the Bucks usually draft. You got to look at Levante David and Quan Alexander, both the two stud backers that the Buccaneers have right now. They're that faster, smaller linebacker who's good at running sideline to sideline, good at coverage. Beckwith's that big thumper. I'm guessing that they're going to plan on using Beckwith on those third and short plays or early rundown plays to try to stop the run. And they're trying to address that stopping the run with their Justin Evans pick, and now you got the Kendall Beckwith. So they're trying to get more physical, which it's good for them. Hopefully he's recovered from the torn ACL. I'm not really sure how long, I don't think he's been very active at camp for the Bucks yet.
No, not much.
But we'll see. This kid, he's a big-time thumper. It's something they don't have at that linebacking spot. So, but I think it was a reach, in all honesty.
Yeah, exactly what you said. It is a reach. But at the same time, it's a kid that is 6'2", 245 pounds. He's a monster. It is what it is. He's from LSU. These LSU linebackers are known to hit people. And it is a reach. It hands down definitely is. But if he turns out to be anything like they think and he's there to shut people down, I'm okay with the pick. I'm not going to bash on it at all. Do I think they should have traded up and got him? Probably not. But I can live with it.
Sometimes you got to trade up to get your guy. Obviously, he was one of their guys.
True.
The Buccaneers are without former Boise State running back Doug Martin for the first three games of the 2017 season. So there's temporarily a hole there at the running back spot. They added another Boise State running back in Jeremy McNichols to help fill that hole. They got him in the fifth round. McNichols was an ultra-productive running back at Boise State, effective in the run and receiving game. He could eventually be the replacement to Charles Sims. I don't think he's going to end up being a three-down running back. He doesn't have the ideal size or the athletic ability. Kind of does everything okay. Reminds me of that Paul Perkins type of running back last year coming out of the draft. But he's a good football player, and I think he'll be able to show the Bucks that he was worth the pick in the fifth round.
Jeremy McNichols is actually another guy that I did break down on as well for running backs. And a lot of people think that the draft pick of Jeremy McNichols means the end of 2-1 muscle hamster Doug Martin, which is a complete lie. And if you're on that hype train, please get off of it. I'm in no means a big Doug Martin hype machine, but at the same time, I am a... I don't want to say a believer, but I am, I don't even know what the term is, but I understand what Doug Martin is and what he brings to the team, and Jeremy McNichols, for as good as he is, he's a very good pass catcher out of the backfield, probably even better than Charles Sims. Charles Sims, if you guys look at him in college, he was very, very good, and he's just not translated well to the NFL. He's gotten hurt, he's actually dropped a couple balls in the open field. And when Charles Sims first came to the NFL, I was all about it. I'm like, he's going to take the job. I talked about it over and over again. But now when I see Jeremy McNichols here, he is just a better version of Charles Sims. And he is going to be that complement role to one Doug Martin. I like Jeremy McNichols. But Doug Martin's the guy, fifth rounder for a reason. Yes, he was hurt, but he'll be a good complement.
You just got to look at all the talk about Doug Martin. All the coaches are all about him, saying he looks like 2015 Doug Martin. So that backfield is still his. I could guarantee that. In the seventh round, God, I'm going to butcher this name. Bucks added Stevie Tua Kolovotu. I have no idea how to freaking say
Tua Kolovotu.
Yeah, from USC.
It's very impressive.
You like that?
Another guy that I think they're...
I can't even pronounce a name on the MMA episode, and I can pronounce this thing.
The seventh rounder.
They're trying to get some more big-bodied run-stuffing guys. He's a defensive tackle, 6'1", 320. Not the biggest or tallest guy in the world, but he's going to use that that leverage of being smaller to block the running lanes, create havoc in the interior of the O-line. And just like the Kendall Beckwith, Justin Evans pick, they had a game plan of getting guys who could come in and stop the run. So I think the Bucs did a good job at addressing getting weapons around Jameis Winston. They added a few very good weapons, and then getting guys who could help stop the run, two of the biggest needs that the Bucs had overall, I think, as a roster.
Stevie here is very underrated because he got a lot of love and projection for the fourth and fifth round. I've seen as high as, mid-fourth, and then I've seen a lot of projections when he was in the fifth. So getting him here in the seventh round, I don't want to say it's a steal, but it's a very good value pick on where it's at. He's a big-bodied guy. Used to play for Utah, went to USC, kind of, evolved his game a little bit. But, I mean, what he's going to be there for is going to be a run stopper. He's going to plug holes, and that's pretty much it. That's all we got to talk about Stevie for. The Bucs have a couple guys like that, but he adds a younger dimension to the team and a younger dimension to that defensive line.
Well, with that being said, he is 25 years old.
Yeah, that's true. I guess so.
Like how long?
Well, you got to look at some of the guys that they drafted in or that they signed in free agency, some of their defensive line. They just signed a guy that was 29 and signed a guy that was 30, defensive end and defensive tackle. So, not much younger, but yes, I see your point. Thanks for pointing that out, producer Justin.
Hey, I'm just fact-checking. But, when you draft a 25-year-old, that's remember when they drafted Brandon Weeden? He was 25, right?
He was probably, 33.
I thought he was, 28. He was 28. It was something, crazy.
He was old as hell.
But Garrett Bowles was taken in the first. He's going to be, 26 by the time the season ends.
Yep.
Something like that.
Are you okay drafting a guy who is, probably only give you, 5-6 years?
If in the seventh round? For sure.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way I could see investing a super high pick on a guy like that. The Broncos did. Yeah.
And that's probably why he fell from the projection of a fourth or fifth round to a seventh round pick. So, yeah. I totally understand it. So, all right. Where do you give the Bucs a grade on their draft?
I'm going to give them a solid B+. But I'm giving them the B+ just because O.J. Howard. Josh, you know how much I absolutely love this kid. When the Colts were on the clock, O.J. Howard and Malik Hooker were both there. I was like, oh, God. Two of my favorite guys are still on the board. But the Colts made the right decision. Bucks made the right decision by taking O.J. Howard. But I just think the Bucks came in with a game plan. They wanted to help stop the run. Give Jameis Winston a couple extra weapons around him. They did that. And that B+, it's a solid grade for him overall. And
Justin.
They got a chance to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah. Justin, what about you? Where do you got it?
I mean, during the draft, I really thought they were going to go with the safety. But, when they drafted O.J. Howard, you can't be mad at the pick. No, yeah. I'm super pumped about it. I mean, it's got goosebumps about Josh talking about it.
Yeah, so, I'm sorry. I just go on a rant. I can't help myself.
I mean, look at all the weapons they have now. I mean, you add a wide receiver. I mean, DeSean Jackson's fine, but obviously that's not the draft. But then you have O.J. Howard. Those two young guys that put around Jameis for how long is a rookie contract? 4 years?
4 years.
O.J. Howard's will be five.
His will be five.
First-round picks get that fifth-year option.
So as Jameis is going into, as he's maturing, he's got these younger guys that he can also, bring up as well. So, I mean, that's great. Defensive side, don't know much about him, but, I mean, sounds like they added some good guys. I mean, obviously anything better than Chris Conte.
So. Yeah. Well, you got to look what they did. They went out, got O.J. Howard. They got the best tight end in the draft, right? The guy can block, he can pass, or he can pass catch, he can do everything.
He can probably pass. He can do everything.
But his comparable is Greg Olsen right now. That's what everybody's comping him to, which I think is very generous, but I could see it being very true as well. You look at his type of game, he can catch the ball and he can block just like Greg Olsen can. And you look at Justin Evans. Justin Evans is going to come in as a day one starter. You're getting a guy in the second round, mid-second round, as a day one guy coming in, automatic starter. That is a win right there. Not a lot of teams can say, I'm getting a second round guy and he's going to be a starter right then and there. You know, then you're looking at one Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin doesn't have to come in right away to be the guy. They have DeSean Jackson. They have Adam Humphries. They have Mike Evans. If someone goes down, or even if they decide to go to a four wide receiver set, then they can implement Chris Godwin. And if you guys have not checked Chris Godwin's tape, do not even look at his highlights. No, you know what? Do yourself a favor and just look at his highlights. Just look at the game against Adoree Jackson in versus USC and watch him tear apart a first-round corner who was picked, what, number 18, right?
Yep.
Watch him tear apart Adoree Jackson. He just lights him up. This is probably one of the better games I have ever seen out of a wide receiver, and it's not because he got drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's because he is that good, in my opinion. He tore up a guy that was drafted in the first round, and he is going to be, I don't want to say a star, because you have Mike Evans there. He's the guy, but he's going to be a very, very good complement second wide receiver. That's all I got.
I love it.
Let's talk about a little bit of fantasy, all right? Let's change some things up. Let's go to the quarterback situation here for Tampa Bay. We have one Mr. Famous Jameis Winston. We all like to talk about him. And what I have said from day one, the more and more weapons that you give this guy, the better and better he will be. They got more weapons for him last year. They're going to get more weapons for him, or they got more weapons for him this year coming up. He finished last year, if you look at the standings with PPR and all that stuff, he finished number 16 last year. You look at some of these games, he had a couple three-touchdown games, which is very good, but what I do see is a couple games with the one touchdown or the zero touchdowns. Two games with zero touchdowns, one, two, three, four games, five games with only one touchdown, and a lot of games with multiple interceptions at the beginning of the season and at the end of the season. He needs to change that around, but in my opinion, with him and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, with all these added extra weapons, we could see Jameis Winston breaking into the top 12 and sitting there firmly in the top 12 all year long.
Yeah, if Jameis Winston does not break out this year and become that legitimate first or quarterback number one that we're expecting him to, I don't know if he's ever going to do that. Look,
this is the year to do it.
Yeah, it has to be the year. Mike Evans is a guy who you could target 160, 170 times a year, a legit number one option. You got that deep threat now. DeSean Jackson is a burner. We're talking about those tight ends, the Chris Godwin. They got plenty of running backs. This has to be the year. Jameis Winston needs to get better with his accuracy, though. He has struggled tremendously with being accurate with the football. Thank God he's got huge weapons there now, though. But overall, we need to see his accuracy get better, his turnovers go down, and I am projecting him to be a top 8 option this year, and he should be drafted before the Ben Roethlisbergers, the Derek Carrs of the world.
You would draft him over Derek Carr?
I would want to. I don't know if I'd draft him before him in a draft, but I'd probably rather get Jameis Winston 2 rounds after Carr is drafted.
Oh, that's true.
That's most likely where he's going to be going. It'll be after Carr.
Very good point. Very good point. Justin, what about you? What do you think? And I'm sorry, this is going to be Jameis Winston's 3rd year. I don't know why. Okay. I thought 4th year. I slipped my mind. You know what? Now that I'm remembering, we went to the draft twice. Yeah. I don't know why we would have a bunch of idiots over here. We were at the draft when Jameis Winston got drafted. Bunch of dum-dums. Justin, thoughts? I'm sorry for cutting you off.
No, it's all good.
He's going to turn this show off if we don't let him talk.
Boop. No, I think you're right with your assessment. Top 12 option, I think. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to think that he might not be as good as Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr is a good quarterback.
Derek Carr is very good.
That's maybe where I don't agree with you totally there, but I mean, still.
Yeah,
you'd be hard pressed to pick 12 quarterbacks that would be above Jameis, you know, and his talent.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the quarterbacks that finished top 12 last year. We have Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, Andrew Luck, Kirk Cousins, that's 5. Dak Prescott was 6. Stafford was 7. Blake Bortles was 8. Tyrod Taylor was 9. Russell Wilson was 10. Derek Carr was 11. Andy Dalton was 12. Mariota, Rivers, Brady, Winston. I could easily see him flying up in the top 12. Take out
Tyrod.
take out Tyrod. Take out Bortles. I could see, like you said, with Carr, him dropping down. I could see Dalton dropping out of there. I could see Dalton moving up this year with a lot of his weapons added. I can see it both ways. But he's got to have a good year.
The quarterback spot is so tricky. There's so many good options this year, though. There's, like, legit 16 guys who I think could be fantasy relevant, in all honesty.
What round do you think Jameis Winston is going to go? Because I could see leagues where they don't value Jameis Winston because they see that he finished as a top 16 guy last year outside the top 20, which is outside of starting quarterbacks. And then somebody goes, you know what? I like Derek Carr. You know what? Roethlisberger's been around for a little bit. He's got Antonio Brown. So I think Jameis Winston could possibly drop to the 12th round in some leagues, maybe even later.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if Winston was off the board before the 11th or 12th in most leagues, and not, unless your fantasy league is based out of Tampa Bay and you got someone like some homers in your league or something like that. But most likely he will be drafted. His ADP will be outside the top 12. Most people won't be drafting him as a starter, but I think you should feel comfortable waiting late on a quarterback and getting him and feeling good about it.
Let's move on to the running backs, and we have the running back that ended up with the most yards last year and then the most points. That was one Jacquizz Rodgers, of all people, the running back that you think that's
crazy.
We have another running back by the name of Muscle Hamster, Doug Martin. And then, again, Jeremy McNichols is added to the bunch. Charles Sims is added there as well. And we can, you know, that's all I'm really going to talk about is just those four. Me personally, I see a huge bounce back year for Doug Martin. I feel like his troubles are past him. He's looking good in camp. They're talking big about him. And, Jacquizz Rodgers could possibly be a guy for your first 3 weeks if you need somebody to plug and play. Or if you're a Doug Martin owner, you should be drafting Jacquizz Rodgers later in case if you need that backup or if something does happen to Doug Martin and you're counting on him, a la Josh Gordon last year, idiot. But if that does happen, are you going to rely on Doug Martin this year?
Doug Martin is a guy I am targeting in every one of my redraft leagues, somewhere between the 7th to 8th round. It's one or two rounds early, get a lot of shit about it, but I really think come week 4, he's going to be the guy. He's going to be that lead dog in Tampa Bay. And this dude, Doug Martin, is kind of crazy. You look at his career stats, his rookie year, 1,400 rushing yards, over 1,400 yards, and 400, 1,400 yards, another 400 last year. It's just ups and downs for this guy. But I don't know what the deal is for the Doug or not. You call him the Muscle Hamster. I prefer the Doug or not. I feel like he produces more when I refer to him that way. And I'm going to be relying on Doug Martin a lot this year. And teams aren't going to be stacking the box against the Bucs trying to stop the run. I think you could say that.
I think that's another thing people are not taking into consideration. Look at all their weapons that they have added. Yeah. Look at all the possibilities with Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston possibly being talked about as a top 12 quarterback. That is going to open up running lanes for one Doug Martin and not for one Jeremy McNichols or Jacquizz Rodgers. They're going to be good complement running backs. But I look at Rodgers and McNichols as kind of the same running back in a sense. McNichols a better receiver. Rodgers a little bit better as a runner. But Doug Martin overall the better running back.
And people are underestimating the importance of adding O.J. Howard to a running game. Look at the last 2 years, the tape for Alabama, the running backs, Derrick Henry, Bo Scarborough. Look at how many holes that O.J. Howard created for those running backs. Look how successful that running game has been at Alabama. And O.J. Howard was a big part of that. I think he's going to be a big part of that for the Tampa Bay Bucs. And that's one of the big reasons I like O.J. Howard this year, and I love Doug Martin this year as well.
Justin, thoughts on Doug Martin?
No, I'm just curious how many people in Tampa have Jacquizz Rodgers jerseys. Jesus Christ. he was the number one last year?
It's crazy.
He was the number one rusher on that team.
Oh, my God.
Do you guys feel comfortable taking Rodgers in, like, the 16th round in a league?
As a flyer, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I feel comfortable taking him in the 14th because you got to look at most redraft leagues. You're taking quick kicker and defense in the last two rounds. Me, personally, I like to take my kicker and my defense a little bit earlier. It's all personal preference in all reality. I personally like to take those two positions probably one or two rounds higher than most people. I like to get some of the better defenses or kickers. Again, you usually always drop a kicker. You usually always drop your defense. But still, I just like to have that kicker or defense advantage for at least a couple weeks. And then getting Jacquizz Rodgers, if he's there in the 16th, awesome. If he's there in the 14th, I'd probably take him in the 14th if I'm a Doug Martin owner.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe even if I'm not a Doug Martin owner, I think I still feel pretty comfortable taking him just in case if, Doug Martin does do what he did last year and then get suspended. There's always that possibility. You never know. So, yep. Where do you guys have Doug Martin finishing this year? Do you guys have you thought about that much or no?
Top 15.
Wow.
It's a little crazy, but you got to look in the past. We've seen running backs come off suspensions.
Missing three games, though.
Yes. We saw Le'Veon Bell last year. True. Yeah, Le'Veon Bell is much better running back than Doug Martin, in my opinion. But he came out and he finished third last year, I think, in PPR and standard leagues with missing four games. Dougie Martin will only be missing three. I really like the offense. All in on the Bucs this year. I'm Josh, you've been talking the Bucs up all pre-NFL season, and I'm kind of jumping on that train with you right now.
Can't help myself. So you said top 15, right?
Yes.
I'm thinking more like 25-ish.
25-ish?
I think 15 is a little high. I mean, especially missing three games.
Yeah, but I see your point, Justin. But at the same time, like, he's going to be the guy after week three. That's just the way I look at it. I don't know. And I look at some of the guys that were the top 24 in running backs. Look at some of these guys. Matt Forte was a top, I believe, 24 guy. Jeremy Hill was a top 24 guy last year. Terrence West, Darren Sproles, Belial Powell. Those were all guys that were top 24 guys. And I feel like Doug Martin is better than those guys. And he is going to be the guy in command of that offense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just the way I look at it is.
It's valid, yeah.
All right, next up, wide receivers.
Mike Evans.
Yeah, Mike Evans is the guy to own, obviously. Finished third overall, if you're looking at PPR, new standard for ESPN-wise. You can't go wrong with Mike Evans. Do I think some of his targets are going to go down? Obviously, you have DeSean Jackson, you have O.J. Howard, you have Cameron Bray. We've talked about it over and over again. Those targets will go down, but do I think it's going to go down a ton? Not as much as a lot of people think. And I still think Mike Evans is going to be in redraft leagues. He's going probably, what, seven? He's ranked seventh, I believe, overall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you get him as late as the ninth pick, because there will be some people to take A.J. Green ahead of him. There will be some people that take Jordy ahead of him. And I think if you get him at, like, pick nine, I think you'd be very happy to get one Mike Evans that late.
Right now, I'm looking at Mike Evans' stat line last year. It was fantastic. Almost 100 receptions, four short of that.
It was fantastic.
Thing that sticks out, though, is that 175 targets. I do not think that's happening again. That's an absurd amount, over 10 a game. I think he's going to drop a little bit in that department, somewhere around the 160 spot, which is still good. That's still 10 a game. And his receptions, I could see right around that 85, that mid-80 number. So I think his numbers are going to drop. I still think he's going to be that finish in the top 12 as a wide receiver this year, but I don't think he's going to be worth that first round where he's being drafted in most leagues
so
right now.
So you got him under the 96 receptions?
Yes.
Gotcha. So let's talk about the other counterpart to that wide receiver core, DeSean Jackson. He caught 56 balls last year, 1,005 yards, four touchdowns on 100 targets. So caught a little bit more than half of the balls thrown his way, scored around 180 points, And then you look at one Adam Humphrey. Adam Humphreys, he caught 55 balls, one catch less than DeSean Jackson. But you look at his reception yards, 622 and two touchdowns on 82 targets, a better catch percentage, but that yardage is just not there. So where do we see these two guys finishing the year, and do we see it finishing in this order, the same exact order as it did last year?
I got D-Jax as the Bucs' number two receiver, but I got Chris Godwin taking up and eating a lot of those opportunities that Adam Humphreys had last season. I could see Godwin getting close to that 80-target mark and catching a lot of the football. I think he'll be doing a lot of damage in the slot over the middle this year, and I see Humphreys declining quite a bit this
really?
Year. Yes.
Justin, thoughts?
With Mike Evans, he had 12 touchdowns last year. How do you think that's going to be allocated between the four of them, actually? You know,
I still like Mike Evans with his touchdown production. Even though you have Cameron Brate, even though you have O.J. Howard, I still like the 10-plus touchdowns for Mike Evans.
Yeah, he's got the perfect frame for that wide receiver when you want to throw inside the red zone. We've seen Brandon Marshall or bigger receivers like that just succeed their whole career at that. And I think Mike Evans he's still going to get double-digit touchdowns. Don't know if it'll be 12, don't know if it'll be 10, 11, but I don't think it'll be anything crazy in the 15 to 16 mark.
All right, let's talk about the tight end. Normally we don't hit on the tight end very much, but we do have one, Cameron Brate, who ended up with 57 receptions, 660 yards, and the big number of 8 touchdowns. Huge catch percentage with 81 targets and 57 catches. That's awesome for a tight end. O.J. Howard, obviously no stats this past year, but you look at some of the other tight ends on the team from last year. Brandon Myers had 7 for 59. Alan Cross had 6 for 38. Luke Stocker had 5 for 23. Two touchdowns between those three guys. 1 2-point conversion between those three guys. And it was around about 40 points fantasy. Is it safe to say that O.J. Howard pretty much takes the fantasy perspective away from those three guys and cuts into Cameron Brate's fantasy production as well?
Yes, I think that is safe to say. Right now, you look back in history for rookie tight ends. There hasn't been many that have come out and produced right away who've been fantasy relevant. There's probably been two or three guys that were start-worthy the last 15 years.
Shockey,
Gronk. Gronk had like 10 touchdowns. Hunter Henry had, I think, 8 touchdowns last season, but his yardage numbers were really low.
It's not often.
No, it's very often, and it's really hard to invest a draft pick, especially one O.J. Howard. I think he's going to go off the board early. He's being drafted in the top 10 or 11, I think, ADP-wise in fantasy drafts right now. That might be a little too rich for my blood. As much as I like this kid, as much as I think he'll be on the field, I think he's going to be on the field quite a bit compared to most rookie tight ends. But there's just so many mouths to feed in this offense. Cameron Brate has been around. Last year he really showed that he could be that NFL tight end and lead that group. And you have to be impressed with how Cameron Brate played last season.
Yeah, and I think like we've hit on earlier, Cameron Brate's that safety blanket for Jameis Winston, and I don't think they're going to get rid of that. Regardless of how much this team likes O.J. Howard, I don't think they thought there was any chance they would get O.J. Howard.
No.
They were comfortable with Cameron Brate. Now they're getting this extra added weapon. You're not going to just ditch Cameron Brate when you thought he was your tight end of the future. Not future, but for then and maybe the next couple years. Now you're adding another piece to the puzzle, which is very nice. Let's talk about anything else you want to talk. Who's going to be the kicker of this team?
I'm going with Aguayo.
Are you?
I don't know. I'm just rooting for the guy. You know, it's a good story. I like the guy.
Yeah, as much as I like Aguayo, fuck him. I don't care. You traded up for a second round pick, and he hasn't panned out. It is what it is. Oh, well.
Best was last season, you trying to justify
that. I know.
He's the best kicker ever. I'm taking him in the 10th round in redraft leagues.
Fuck him.
Theoretically, he was the best kicker, but whatever. It is what it is now. So let's talk about where we think the Buccaneers are going to finish this year. Where do you guys have them? Why? And then after we make our predictions, I want one bold prediction fantasy, one bold prediction with the NFL league with the Tampa Bay Bucks. I know it's a lot.
Woo.
You guys write that all down? Here we go. Tom, you're up.
That's a lot, Josh. I have the Tampa Bay Bucks improving this season. I have them taking a step forward, being 10-6 this year, and being a wild card team out of the NFC South this year.
10-6?
Yes.
Alrighty. Justin, where you got them?
10-6, that sounds pretty... It's an improvement, yeah.
Justin? Okay. Producer Justin? Can't just copy me.
10-6, is that where you got them too?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Alright, so I have...
it's so freaking hard.
Yeah, this division is probably one of the toughest divisions, so...
Yeah.
I am going to go with 11-5. And they're going to win the division... And they are going to march on to the playoffs. So give me one bold prediction for – give me fantasy. Let's go fantasy. It could be anything.
Doug Martin finishes as a running back one this season.
All right, top 12 running back.
Both tight ends finish in the top 20.
That's pretty bold. I like that. That's not bad.
Obviously, Breed's higher up. But
yeah. I'm going to go with Jameis Winston is going to finish as a, I'm not going to say top five, I'm going to say top seven fantasy quarterback.
Top seven.
Now give me one bold prediction that you guys have for the team in the NFL as a whole.
That's tough.
It is.
My bold prediction, they will sweep the Atlanta Falcons this season.
Sweep the Atlanta Falcons?
What? You're honestly going with sweeping the Atlanta Falcons?
That's kind of bold. They're...
No. It's bold. It is bold. That's, I just yeah. don't
Justin's
believe
like it's very stupid bold.
You think that defense will actually stop the Atlanta offense?
I have faith. Right. And it might not be that defense. It might be the Bucks offense. I have faith in that offense that the Bucks have put around Jameis. I think he's going to take that step forward. I think O.J. Howard is going to beat the shit out of the defense of the freaking Falcons. O.J. Howard's the man.
I thought you were going to punch your computer.
I wanted to. I'm getting all jacked up. Justin, you're just bringing it out of me.
Anything for you, Justin?
I got nothing.
All right, I'm going to go with Jameis Winston. The last 2 years has thrown for barely over 4,000 yards. I'm going to say that he is going to throw for 4,500 yards on the season, which if it was 4,500 yards last year, that would have put him at fourth overall for the entire year, right behind one Kirk Cousins, right ahead of one Aaron Rodgers. So that's what I got. Anything else, guys?
That's it.
Alrighty, well, again, we are Pony Keg Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Keg Sports, at Pony Keg Tom, at Pony Keg Tim. Justin, what's your Pony Keg, or what's your Twitter name?
I don't even know how to pronounce it.
Go ahead, say it.
It's like Saint Just Fins.
Spell it for us.
Oh, yeah. I can't even spell it for you.
Alright, so he has a Twitter he doesn't even know. So, again, you guys can hit us up on our Facebook. We have that as well. You guys can check out our website, ponykicksports.com, and also check out our buddies on their website, cleatgeeks.com, and check out all their articles, everything like that. They're going to be having a bunch of them come out, football, wrestling, basketball, baseball. And if you guys have not checked out the Big 3 basketball 3-on-3 tournament, do so. It is awesome. Ice Cube, hold out for millions and millions of dollars. Make Conor McGregor and Mayweather pay you that money for that August 26th. Venue at T-Mobile Arena. Tom, last thoughts.
Guys, Cleat Geeks right now has the South Carolina Wiener Dog Racing Championships live streaming. Go check it out. It's extremely entertaining to see what these little dogs with short little legs can do.
Yeah, those wieners.
I love wieners.
All right, thanks. See you next time.